This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, folks. I hope you had a great weekend. Two out of three ain't bad, right? You know, Tulane wins big. LSU loses. Saints win big as well. Great football watching Tulane and both the Saints. And hopefully at some point in time, LSU get their act back together and they'll start winning again. We've got a great show today. Guy Williams, president of Gulf Coast Bank and Trust, joins us. We'll talk about COP29 and the current state of the green movement. Chairman Powell will talk about rates and what the Fed is thinking. We'll talk about the distress housing market, in particular Chicago, and why that's important for us to consider. In the 11 o'clock segment, Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter and digital content producer, will join us to talk about that big game yesterday as the Saints beat the Browns in the Caesar Superdome. Senator Royce DePlessis joins us talking about the juvenile crime amendment that's advancing through the special session where it makes it easier to charge teens as adults, and his thoughts about that particular piece of legislation. Wanted to talk about just a couple of things. One, I can't wrap my head around why Congress can't move this Keep AM Radio Act, or AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act of 2024. The support for it is mounting. Why is this important to you? They're talking about eliminating AM radio in cars. FM does not have the signal that AM does. In fact, we transmit it in a whole different fashion. And in fact, this station, WWL, reaches a minimum of 13 states during the day. Sometimes it can be as many as 30. Three weekends ago, I was almost in Panama City listening to WWL AM 870. You know, it's just reassuring, especially with all of the challenges that we have here, weather-wise and things of that nature, that we stay connected. I imagine there's a lot of people in the West Bank today that have lost power, don't have cable, don't have anything, but if they have their radio, if they're prepared for the hurricane season, they possibly do, they can be connected to find out exactly what's going on. And we have been reporting as to what those reasons are. Just one example. So I just remind you, call your Congress folks, tell them it's time to stop messing around with this bill. Nothing has come out that's negative about voting for this bill. In fact, a lot of what the industry, auto industry, has said that is promoted has been debunked, and it needs to pass. So just something to think about. Something else to think about. You know, ethics is the study of moral principles and how they guide people's actions and their actions and their relevant decisions or related decisions, right? And it can also be a situation that provides a framework for interpreting and understanding what's right what's wrong in society, right? These are just multiple definitions. You Google a word. I like to go to the core first before I get into a subject. So let's talk about this Matt Gaetz appointment and his bipartisan ethics committee report. There are five members appointed by the Speaker of the House, a Republican. There are five members reported by the head of the minority, a Democrat. So it is truly a bipartisan committee, five and five. They decide whether or not they are going to conduct an investigation. And in the case of Matt Gaetz, they did. The investigation is actually completed. And they were about to release the report. And Matt Gaetz decided to resign from the House of Representatives. At the same time as his name is being bandied about to be put up for confirmation as the Attorney General of the United States. As I said before, I don't believe in coincidences. I think this is, you know, they're all connected. They're trying to save this individual for whatever reason. I'm not exactly clear. I don't know that he has a majority of Republicans that are sitting in his corner waving pom-poms for him to get this appointment. So it's a stretch at best. You know, we don't even have to talk about his qualifications at this point in time. Obviously, he has been a very divisive character, even within the Republican Party, created a mess for a long period of time. Whether you like his politics or not is something else. But it seems as though the party and the party politics are playing this game, right, in talking about this. And it seems as though the Speaker and others, that the rules just aren't really clear about how this works in the Ethics Committee. And that's really disappointing. I don't know about you, but I mean, that just seems to be disappointing. If this committee, a bipartisan committee, decides that there's conduct exhibited by one of the members of the House that's egregious enough to start an investigation, one would think that egregious nature of the allegations, unless otherwise completely and totally exonerated, then the subject of the investigation, I would suspect, would want the findings to be released. But if there's something there, or there's some smoke, or there's something there, why is it left up to the internal politics and machinations of the House? What happened to the voters? I don't recall anybody ever asking us, do we have a desire to know? I would love to hear from you. Do you have a desire to know? 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Now, there's been a number of situations where there have been the release of the report and others where there has not. In fact, there was an opinion piece done in the Washington Post, if my memory serves me correct, and I'm trying to find a gentleman's name. I wrote it down, and now I can't find it for whatever reason. But anyway, that kind of was talking about this, or maybe it was just a reporter that was reporting on it, Paul Kane, I'm sorry, in the Washington Post. And there were some times when it wasn't released. So when Anthony Weiner was caught in 2011 sending lewd pictures to women over social media and lying about his phone being hacked, at the encouragement of Representative Nancy Pelosi, she was the minority leader at that time, the Ethics Committee opened an investigation. He resigned a few days later, but there was no release. And quite frankly, the investigation had not even really started. In 2017, there was news that Trent Franks, a Republican from Arizona, had offered younger women staffers $5 million to serve as a surrogate for a child of his. This is crazy shit, right? Ethics officials announced an inquiry, and later that day, Franks announced that he would resign. So again, they had said, we're going to investigate this. There wasn't any work done, and they left. So there really wasn't work or product that was produced as a result of that investigation. Now, interestingly, Nancy Pelosi agrees with Mike Johnson that there is no more investigative work to be done now because this individual, Gates, has resigned from the House. However, that, you know, whether the report would stop is another thing. And Pelosi says that's up to the committee. And she says, I think they should release it. So it seems as though there's some wishy-washy rules here, because there have been a number of times where the reports were released. In fact, in 2011, the Senate Ethics Committee voted unanimously to issue a 75-page report a few days after John Ensign, a Republican from Nevada, resigned and in addition sent its material to the Justice Department recommending criminal charges for his attempt to cover up an extramarital affair. These matters, as the reporter pointed out, were considered of such consequence that the public deserved answers despite the resignations of lawmakers at the center of the scandal. Well, who makes that decision? How is that made? What is of such consequence? And does it matter if this particular individual that was under an ethics investigation, report being issued, about to be released, is now nominated for Senate confirmation to be the attorney general, the top law enforcement leader in the country? It would seem to me that if the Senate is going to do their due diligence under the advise and consent that's laid out in Article 2 of the Constitution, which lays out the authority of the executive office, the president, right? In Article 2, Section 2, it says, the president shall be commander-in-chief of the Army and Navy of the United States and of the militia of several states. When called into actual service of the United States, he may require the opinion in writing of the principal officer in each of the executive departments upon any subject relating to the duties of their respective offices, and he shall have the power to grant reprieves and pardons for offenses against the United States, except in cases of impeachment. He shall have power by and with the advice and consent of the Senate to make treaties, provided 2/3 of the senators present concur, and he shall nominate by and with the advice and consent of the Senate, shall appoint ambassadors, other public ministers and consuls, judges of the Supreme Court, and all other officers of the United States whose appointments are not herein otherwise provided for, and which shall be established by law. But the Congress may, by law, vest appointment of such inferior offices as they think proper in the president alone, in the courts of law, or in the heads of departments. And that's why you have some appointments that are have Senate confirmation required, and some not. That is set out by law. But here we are, if we are going in this position, Attorney General obviously is one of those that requires that Senate confirmation, right, under the advice and consent of the Senate. So if they're going to do their appropriate due diligence, would they not be entitled to that Senate report? I mean, the House report, House ethics report. I would think so, right? And again, what does the public think? I know if I was sitting on that committee, whether or not in the Senate, whether or not I had a D or an R, if they thought it was serious enough allegations to go and investigate, I think I would want to know what the outcome is. I think the subject of the investigation would want to know what the outcome is as well. He maintains his innocence. Well, if they investigated this and they support what he says, you know, his innocence, what is there to hide? Well, there might be some really probably not so kind details involved in there that maybe they weren't totally explained away. But again, why are the party politics playing this game, and we're not just getting to the base issue here? We're considering this individual for one of the most important positions in the country, and we're trying to talk around, and we're trying to do a workaround as it relates to what information is going to be revealed to the committee. And that just doesn't make any sense. So I'd love to hear from you. 504-260-1870. Give us a call. What do you think? Do you think the report should be released? Should it be revealed? Should the Senate have the ability to review same? Does that fall within the aspect of their due diligence? Are they not doing their due diligence if they allow this thing to just sit on the side and not be considered? We'd love to hear from you. We'll be right back, folks. Stay.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
With us. And there are a number of Republicans that are not on board with this by any stretch of the imagination. One says he's getting what he wants regardless, which is I'm standing here, we're all standing here, wasting our time talking about a guy who is literally worse than the gum on the bottom of my shoe. That's Representative Max Miller, Republican from Ohio, who told reporters about the Gates announcement on Wednesday. On Thursday, Representative Mike Simpson, Republican from Idaho, turned to an aide when reporters asked for his thoughts, asking her, should I say it? He paused for 10 seconds before unfurling almost 3 minutes worth of his thoughts. He says, let me put it this way. If I was in the Senate and I was doing a confirmation hearing, I would want to see the report and I would want to see everything else that's going on. He has a very simple theory, Simpson that is, on why Gates resigned immediately from the House on Wednesday. This wasn't to get the seat filled quicker or anything like that. It was to try to prevent that report from coming out. Plain and simple. As I said, I don't believe in coincidences. Let's go to Lewis on line one. What say you?
Yes, I just wanted to talk about this. I don't understand Trump doing this. I mean, what was his motivation?
I'm told that they believe that he has the moxie to stand the Department of Justice in the face based on the manner in which he's challenged them in committee hearings before, that he's not afraid of them, and that he will play the role of a disruptor because they want to re-engineer the Department of Justice.
Well, you'd have to agree that there had to have been somebody else that probably could carry out those same things without this pick. And just one other thing, the lady who's his assistant now, who they've been saying good things about, how on earth did she not sit there and say, you know, boss, I don't think this is the way we want to go? And
she may have. And he may have overruled her. He is the boss. He picks who he wants.
She should resign.
Well, that's not. You don't resign. You pick and choose your battles. Look, I was in a similar position to Harry Lee for a long, long time. I was his number two from. Now my mind just went blank from 1995 to 2017. Did we agree on everything? Hell no. Did we get in heated debate and conversations? Hell yes. Was it his decision each and every time? Definitely yes. And then did I have to go out and support his decision as the number two? No doubt. Because that's the role of a number two. There's only room for one number one, and there's only one number one on the stage. And that's how it is in corporate America, government America, any business entity, organization, that's how it rolls. Once that decision is made, you support that decision. You may not like that decision. There were many decisions I didn't like, but I supported them because that was my role.
Sure.
And I had to implement a lot of them because that was my role.
I understand that, and this is my last thing, and I've listened to you for a long time. I've admired you. I know that at some point, Harry Lee could have made some decision that you could not have approved, and you would have said goodbye. And I think
Look, let there be no doubt. Harry Lee would have never in a million years asked me or anybody else in his organization to do anything illegal. Right. So that would have been a defining moment. But I had the comfort of knowing each and every night putting my head on the pillow that the likelihood of that was slim and none. And Slim just walked out the door. So it wasn't going to happen. You know, whether or not this is the best pick for a position, I think that's something of a whole different magnitude. And I just find it a little hypocritical. And I'm not defending Matt Gaetz. I do not believe Matt Gaetz to be a good choice. But it's not like, you know, I made that these cabinet picks have been the most qualified individual around, you know, to take on that role. I mean, we could start going through these things over and over and over again. In fact, I was kind of curious, so I did a little background on, you will recall Donald Rumsfeld, you know, when he was first appointed to be the Secretary of Defense, his first time around, he was about the same age as Pete Hegseth and had about the same qualifications, served in the military. He turned out to be some very controversial, but most people say very competent. It's not like either party has the corner on putting the most qualified people in here, but to appoint someone and then somehow or another communicate to the powers to be that we have to suppress an ethics report that's coming out, this is not a good start, right? It's not a good place to start from, I don't believe. And I think that's one of the points you're making, Lewis. You know, you're already behind the eight ball, and you hadn't even got to your first hearing yet. You know, and it's going to be, and you've got Republicans who are not supportive of this candidate, period. So it's like, why would you do this? I agree with you. There's got to be somebody else that can fulfill the role of disruptor and have the moxie to do so that's out there if that's one of the things that you want to accomplish. Thank you so much for the call, Lewis. Let's go to David. David, you're up. What say you?
Thank you, Sheriff. Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House of Representatives, did the talk shows yesterday. And he hemmed and hawed about maybe it's unethical to release that report. Richard Milhouse Nixon said the American people need to know if their president is a crook. The Supreme Court, I believe in a unanimous decision, forced Nixon to give up the tapes. Because like Nixon himself said, the American people need to know if their president is a crook. Well, the American people need to know if a person to be appointed attorney general, which has an awesome amount of power, whether this person is a crook or not, the American people need to know. That Bible, Johnson totes around with him, it's written in red, "Woe to you hypocrites." Mike Johnson clearly serves the Lord High Master of the Republican Party. Donald John Trump, not the people. And Jesus said, woe to you hypocrites. And I wouldn't be surprised, given that Trump doesn't even want to have hearings to nominate and confirm, to have these appointees to the cabinet confirmed, I wouldn't be surprised at the first cabinet meeting that the uniform of the day is brown shirts with a armband with a swastika on it, and the meeting will break out.
You know, David, you make perfect sense. I mean, you make perfect sense till you go off the rails, right? And
well, I'm not off the rail. I think Trump.
Yeah, I mean, if you really believe that they're going to show up in brown shirts one day and even go there,
well,
and all of the
I'm
negative connotations, as yes, you are using hyperbole, and it's of no value during the course of this conversation, quite frankly. So,
well,
have a good day.
Something.
We'll cut it off there, David. Let's go to Kathy. Kathy, you're up. What say you?
Matt, Gates is really a bad choice. The people have the right to know what he did. And I feel like Matt Gates is representing the MAGA people. He's not for black and brown people. And one other comment I want to say, and I don't know if you know about this, but the governor of Louisiana is talking about raising our sales taxes. I don't have a problem with that. But raising our insurance premiums, that's the nuttiest thing I've ever heard of. I'm paying like $7,000 right now in La Place for homeowners. And he's talking about raising our premiums?
I don't know that's true. I've never heard the governor say that. So I'd have to see that to believe that. I will, Kathy. I would be very surprised. That would be political suicide to be in support of raising your insurance premium.
Matt Gaetz does not have a degree as a lawyer. And
no, he does.
He's not qualified, and he's not for the people.
Matt Gaetz does have a degree as a lawyer.
He has a law degree.
Yes, ma'am.
He has a law degree?
Yes, he does.
Oh, he does. Okay. But he's not for the people. I mean, listen to all this rhetoric. He's not for the people.
Right. All right, Kathy, thank you so much. But you see, this is emblematic of sometimes what we, you know, we got to jump to brown shirts and take this a whole different course of this. It's not enough to just say that you don't believe that this individual is a good appointment or otherwise based on what we know to be true. And then a follow up with we're trying to appoint someone to be attorney general who doesn't have a law degree. That takes about 10 seconds to Google Matt Gaetz's name. I came across it in a report the other day. I forgot what law school. I knew he was a lawyer. I just didn't know what law school that he went to. I want to say it may have been William and Mary, but I may stand corrected on that. But anyway, he did go to law school. He practiced law for about 3 years, and then he ran for Congress. And this is where he finds himself at the present time. But the whole thing is really about this report, you know, and the way that we set up the construct of these ethics investigations and the value of same. If we're looking and we confirm that there's been conduct exhibited by the members of Congress that's less than, I think the voters have a right to know. I think his constituents have a right to know. And if it's to the extent that he resigns, because he's not compelled to resign at the present time until he's actually confirmed and is going to take the oath and start work, then and only then is he compelled to resign. He can't hold both offices, obviously, but he's not compelled to do so. But thinking that this is going to squelch the report, and then we have you, you're nominated for one of the top positions on the cabinet. I don't know. For me, it's a bridge too far. And it's kind of this workaround situation. And we've talked about it a couple of times. You know, let's talk about somebody raised this thing about these recess appointments. The heck is that about? Why would we want to circumvent the process that's been set up by the Constitution on advise and consent relative to these positions that require Senate confirmation? Now, the way that this would have to work is kind of interesting. So Congress would have to be in recess in order for these appointments to be made, where it wouldn't go before either the Senate. And both houses have to be, if my memory serves me correct, in recess. The president has the authority to put them in recess if there's a disagreement, right? And it's in Article 2, Section 3 of the Constitution, which says the president may, on extraordinary occasions, convene both houses or either of them, and in the case of disagreement between them with respect to the time of adjournment, he may adjourn them to such time as he shall think proper. They've actually had some cases on this as well. So what is a recess? Well, most people believe that that's the period of time between two sessions, not if they cause themselves to come out of a session for a period of time, whether it be 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, a week, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks. It's the period of time between the sessions that are on the calendar, right? But others think otherwise. So he would have to adjourn the Senate. And at that point in time, then they would make these appointments. And then the Senate would come back into session, and these appointments would be made already. Well, that's a workaround. And you know how I feel about workarounds, and I'm not a hypocrite on this. Workarounds get you in nothing but trouble. And if this Senate, especially Republicans, want to give up, forego, and a very important role that they have in the confirmation of those that sit in important positions in our government, shame on them. And if they fear Donald Trump, that he's going to be upset with them because he's not in full support on that, then I don't know what to tell you. You're not a leader. You're not a credible leader. You need to resign and get out of the Senate. We can't keep eroding away the protocols, the value of the forum for the sake of an individual, right? This is too important. I mean, when you think about all the times in this state, we get to see Senator John Kennedy, for example, taking nominees to task as to what they know and what they don't know. You get a very good idea of sometimes of how little these people know. You wonder, how did we get to this person when basic principles of the Constitution, they can't even recount as a judicial nominee? And you have to wonder, well, what? What are we doing? And that's happened on both sides. It's not one side or the other that has this cornered. It's all the time. But I like to know. I like to have a better idea about what we're doing. It tells me something about the process and the president and what they're thinking and where they're willing to take risk as it relates to some of these appointments or otherwise. It also tells you something about the political process, who you owe and who you don't owe, right? And why we would think that this workaround is going to make sense is mystifying to me, that we would eliminate this. Look, we got to swallow the medicine. You put up a crappy appointment, they are going to get browbeat. You have the votes, you can still confirm, but you're just going to have to go through the exercise. And if the exercise is embarrassing for you and embarrassing for the president, he made the choice. That's just the way the cookie crumbles. We'll be right back. There were a bunch of recess appointments made by a bunch of different presidents. I'm getting a number of texts coming in. You have to look at the positions as to, which ones they were. And in a lot of cases, that was because of resignations that were made during the recess period and what was going on in the country at the time. Let's go to John. John, you're up. What say you?
Good morning. How are you doing?
Doing well.
Good.
all I want to do is make a quick comment, and then I'll shut up, is if you have a leader who was overwhelmingly elected and he wants to build a team around him that he's comfortable with, everybody else should just shut up. I mean, unless there's a glaring, and there might be with Cates or Gates, whatever his name is. But, you know, this is what leaders do. They build a team that can support your programs and go forward from there. So,
oh, there's no doubt. I don't disagree with you, John. He gets to pick who he wants to pick. He picks based on his comfort level. My point here is simply, why are we trying to modify procedures and processes in order to put our folks that we've nominated in a better position to actually make it through the process?
You got to swallow the.
The recess appointment process, as well as, you know, this ethics committee report. I would want the senators who are involved in advice and consent to have access to that report. If they thought it was serious enough to investigate it, they've got a report, they were getting ready to release it, it would seem to me it has some value in the due diligence to see whether or not this is a candidate worthy of holding one of the highest positions in the U.S. government, Attorney General. Just a thought.
I agree with that. I agree with that totally. However, everybody is, you know, going after all of his nominees.
Yeah, I mean, they have to be vetted. He nominated them. He's going to have the votes for most of them, I would think.
Yeah, I think so.
And he's going to get exactly what he wants. And look, it's not like he's kept any of this a secret. Most of these controversial things, he's talked about. He's talked about disrupting the intelligence arena. He doesn't like it. He thinks they've misled presidents in the past. They've also misled him in his past. He's not totally in line with the Defense Department. He doesn't believe that to be a fighting man or woman, that we need to be all wrapped up in DEI. He believes that there's a more basic premise and principle about the role that they play, and we're off on a sideshow on a lot of different things, and he's going to affect the change in order to accommodate same. He also believes the same thing about the Education Department. He doesn't understand if education is left to the states, why is the federal government holding these financial carrots out there to try and encourage them to do one thing or another that has nothing to do with constitutionality of any of these programs? It's a good question. It's a legitimate question. I actually agree with him on it. If it's left to the states, let them decide. Why are you trying to pick and choose what you want, how you want to influence what's going on at the state level? A lot of people don't think enough through these issues to gain a better understanding as to what they are actually being talked about and what it means. Got to get to a break. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Folks, when we come back after the top of the hour news break, we'll visit with Royce Duplessis, State Senator, District 5, about a juvenile crime bill, an amendment which could make it easier to charge teens as adults for additional crimes. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.